Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. I want to lay a little bit of a foundation, and then we're going to have some fun and stuff. Gospel of John, this is the account of the wedding at Cana. The account where Jesus turns the water to wine. Just some simple truths that I want to pull out of this without distorting the text. Gospel of John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. I want us to put ourselves in the picture, and I want us to put ourselves in the place of the servants. And I want us to consider this grandiose event, and all of a sudden, they're out of wine. Many times we read this and we get distracted by what Jesus said to his mother and don't catch the real moment. We feel like because he said woman, we've watched too many Westerns and we assume that he was being disrespectful, and he wasn't. It's the same thing he said to her when he was on the cross and he said, "Woman, behold your son." He was not being disrespectful. So get over that. By the way, it's always the responsibility of a leader to interpret anything that goes on in a service. So for those of you who do not have a clue who Mr. Magoo is, and I realize there are many, he was a cartoon character who was always at the right place at the right time, and things would happen around him, and good accidents would happen that would just protect him from his own self, and which we all need. And there was another one too. Gotcha? No, what? Henry? What was it? Sockatoom. For those of you who don't know what Sockatoom was, that was just from another TV show, from way back when. So anyway, laughing, yeah. So getting past Jesus and his encounter with his mother and discovering that even back then, mother knew best. She disregarded what he said and said to the servants, "Whatever he says, do it." And I want us to know that the key to this whole thing is that they did what he said they should do. They did it. But I want us to put our place in the, our own selves in the place of those servants and recognize the tension that must have been in the room right now. They're out of wine. They are the ones that serve it. I don't know why they were out of wine. I don't know whose fault it was they were out of wine. My guess is the master of the feast, who we would probably call the master of the ceremonies or the chief host or whatever, he is very aware they're out of wine. They're out of wine. They're out of wine. They're out of wine. And so Jesus gives some instruction. Now, there were six water pots, probably about this size, 20 to 30 gallons, maybe a little bigger, that were there. And he says, fill them with water. We need to understand that these water pots were for washing people's feet. They were not the punch bowl. They never had contained wine, believe me. They were probably empty because as the guests came in, the servants washed their feet, as was the custom, out of these six water pots. And Jesus says, these water pots, and the scripture says the servants did it. Now, my guess is, if I'd have been one of the servants, I'd have said, oh, he's going to have us wash the guests' feet before they leave. It's going to be a short day. We're going to get off early. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure they knew what he was up to. So he has them fill. By the way, I grew up my first 8 years without running water, without an indoor toilet. So I remember melting snow for water. I remember carrying water. And it takes a long time to fill up six water pots, 20 to 30 gallons. That's some commitment. And it says that they filled them to the brim. So the servants get the six water pots full. My personal opinion, I don't think the water was that clean because I don't think the pots were that clean. Because that's not what they were for. And now he says to them, okay, now draw some water out of one of the pots and take it to the master of the feast to drink. Now, if I'd have been one of the servants, my first thought would have been, what do you talk about, Willis? That's another TV show from way back. If I'd have been one of the servants, see, here's the question. At what point did the water turn to wine? At what point does the blood, you all had communion here last week, I assume, is that correct? We were up north. I preached at my home church again. Or not my home church, the church I grew up in. But I assume that you had communion last week, and I know the lady who bakes the bread. I know the people who get it already. I've seen the container. It's grape juice. No. I said it's grape juice. But at some point, it becomes the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. When does that take place? When did the baskets of bread begin to reproduce so that 5,000 people could be fed from about seven baskets with stuff left over? When does it happen? I want to suggest to you, when they drew the water out of the container, it was water. And I want to suggest to you, when that servant's going to the master of the feast, his master, hello, and going to give him this wash water? It's like, here's what I'd have done. I'd have got off in a corner first and tasted it before I ever gave it to the master to see if it happened yet. Because I'm not about to give my master wash water. The master probably assumes, oh good, somehow we got more wine. The truck pulled up, whatever. But as is customary, I would suspect, he gets the first glass to approve of it before they serve it to the rest of the guests. You guys have been at at a table with your lovely bride or best friend or whatever, and they, oh, you don't drink wine, do you? For those of us who do, and they bring the wine, and before they pour just a little bit for you as the head of the table to taste to decide if you want it or not. And this is kind of what was going on. But the question is, when did the wine become wine and no longer water? I suspect that the servant was thankful that the glass that he was taking the wine, the water into the master, was not crystal stemware that you could see through so that you could see the bugs floating in the water. Hello, Mickey. Water. I believe it's still water. I believe that it turned to water when the master drank it. Wine. Thank you. See, I need all the help I can get, Mark. I believe that communion becomes the bread of Christ when I take it in faith. And to me, it is. See, it is possible to take communion and eat nothing more than bread and to drink nothing more than grape juice. But it is possible to have communion and to recognize this is the body which is broken for me. Not because it doesn't look like bread, smell like bread, feel like bread, but because the Word of God said it's the body. So if He said it's the body, then it's the body, and I will receive it as the body. And at that moment, it becomes the body of Christ to me. And it becomes the blood of the Lamb to me. They can, when it's all over, they can. I have no problem with them throwing away the bread that's left and the juice that's left, because it's just juice and bread. Unless the drain decides that it's the blood of Christ. Which in that case, we have a very sanctified sewer system. See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I think the guys, the servants were glad that the big containers, the six of them, were not see-through so that no one could see what people were drinking. I think they were thankful that the glass that they carried was probably either a metal goblet or a stoneware so that they couldn't see. Dude, that's water. And not real clean water. And you're going to give it to the master of ceremonies? Okay, so what? What's this got to do with anything? Got everything to do with everything. You know what holds you and I back from giving away what we've got to give? Is we think we have to, it has to be wine first. And I want to suggest to you that it is not wine until it's received. And I want to suggest to you, see, one thing that holds us back is, see, what if the six servants felt like they had to come up with the wine? And many times when we minister, whether in here or out there, we feel like, oh my gosh, what pressure. I've got to bring the wine. You don't need to bring the wine. Guess what? You cannot bring the wine. Jesus did not ask them to provide wine. He said, fill them with water. And in a little bit, we're going to turn you loose. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to begin to minister in here to people through you. And what I want to encourage you with, because see, as soon as some of you hear it, it's like, oh my God, you mean I got to get a word? I got to get a word of knowledge. I got to get a word of prophecy. I got to get a vision. No, you don't. But you can. If we can rest in the fact that all See, all I'm doing this morning is pumping water. That's all I'm doing. And if it's of any significance to anyone this morning, it's because somehow as you hear it and as you receive it and as you get past all the activity, it becomes wine to you. So many people feel so disqualified and unqualified to be ministers of the gospel, and I want to say to you, you are, but don't take yourself too serious, because all you do is carry water, but it's really important that you do. See, we do not, I am not preaching for Jesus this morning, I'm preaching with him. We do not minister, whether in here or out there, we do not do things for Jesus, we get to do it with him. Great signs were done among them by the hands of the apostle, Jesus Christ stretching out his hand to heal. Really? We get to go with him. The servants that filled the six pots, they were instrumental in what took place. But all they were was obedient. Do what he tells you to do. Whatever he says, do it. Have you ever... See, this comes back to this thing of doing more by accident than we do on purpose. Have you ever done something and the Lord says, do this, and you have not a clue why you do it, but you do it? And amazing, Dan, it produces fruit. And it's like, are you kidding me? God gets mileage out of it. God uses it, and it's like, you know, I know there's been a lot of messages about walking on water, but I want to suggest until we've become comfortable carrying water, we ought not to try to walk on it. And I know, you know what I mean? I know we like to do the big grandiose things, and that's wonderful when we can, but I tell you what, the day-to-day water carriers are far more fruitful than the occasional water walkers. And we want to walk on water. We want to do the great thing. And because we can't, we feel like we're nobody. No, you're somebody. Just carry water. Just do whatever he tells you to do, do it. And do it with all your heart. If you're going to fill the water pot, do what they did. Fill it to the brim. I'm not sure I would have filled it to the brim. That's a lot of water. Could have held back a bucket or two. I don't know how they got it there. But I know they didn't plug the pump in. I know it took some work to draw 180 gallons plus, maybe 240 gallons of water. That's a lot of water, isn't it, Dan? One bucket at a time, sweet Jesus. But they did it with obedience, and they did it with simplicity, and I'm still not convinced they knew what he was going to do. I still think they thought they were going to be doing some foot washing and getting off early today because we're out of wine. I want to encourage you this morning in the ability. See, I personally think that you are very, very good at carrying water. I think you can do that. Even here today, I think you can do that. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have Alicia come up and play and just set an atmosphere for hearing from God, seeing from God, whatever God's going to do. And he's going to begin to release words of knowledge, words of prophecy, visions, scriptures, whatever, through some of you. And if when I say that, you feel pressure Let me say there is no pressure. We're not asking you to perform, but we are asking you to make yourself available to just carry water. But here is what happens so often when we get in that place. God downloads something to us, and we immediately taste it. And we realize, this don't taste like wine. And we diminish what we were just given. And we say, oh, this is just water. Duh, yeah. But it's a good base for wine. And if we will be obedient to just release, this is a safe place to release. We're doing a bit of equipping this morning. We're doing a bit of releasing. We're doing a bit of validating. If we will just do our part in this safe place, we're going to be amazed at what God will do, because it's Him that takes our water and turns it to wine. Amen. You want to come on up and play? Just play, whatever, prophetically. And we're just going to go into a mode. Marcy, would you share that vision you had? Oh, you got another one. Yeah. Come on, girlfriend.
Okay. When we were praying this morning in the prayer room, I just... It almost looked, cartoonish, but I saw over people's heads, and I think there's even a commercial that's like this, I saw over people's heads words, and they're words that I believe that you're going to release into people's lives, and words that you're going to break off of people's lives. So I just want you to be in that place of expecting, you know, and whatever, God just have His way. The other thing I thought of is, or the other thing that I got, is I got a picture when Bob was talking about the Lord turning the water into wine, and that we are water carriers. You know, I saw the Lord come and drop grapes into that water. And I thought, you know what? I believe we have to be faithful to bring the water, but He's the one that brings the fruitfulness and turns that into wine.
Whoa, good word.
So
why didn't I think of that? No, keep going. See what else comes. Wow. He brings the fruit.
Yeah. And sometimes, sometimes this fruit has to be squeezed. And that's not a pleasant season to be in. And I think some of us are in that season of being squeezed, perhaps. But I want to encourage you that when He squeezes us, when He squeezes the fruit, it is a very precious wine that He brings not only into our lives, but releases it into others' lives. So I want to encourage you in that.
Amen. Good stuff. Yes. Yes. Bring your water forward.
Amen. Kind of the squeezing thing, I was thinking a little bit about... You know, when my kids were little, they liked to wear Band-Aids. If they would get a wound or a hurt, and they would put a Band-Aid on, and sometimes even after the wound was healed, they would still like to wear a Band-Aid. And, I think that through the course of what the wine and the release wants to do, sometimes we keep putting Band-Aids on something that's been healed because we like people to see it. So let's let it be healed.
How deep is that? How many of you felt that turn to wine? We may have people respond to that later. That was a good word. How many of you could relate to that? I mean, not that you're wearing a band, but you might be. Well, your hand is already up. I see that hand. wish you could play like this. It's just water. What does she have that she did not receive from God? And if she received it from God, how then can she boast? When does that sound coming out, wherever it comes out of, when does it begin to carry something of the presence and the anointing of God? It's when we receive it.
A lot of us just got inspired by what was brought up and spoken, but I think a lot of us have something to do with the being the water carrier, that we're so overburdened with so much stuff. But this is what I feel the Lord is saying, that there's a gift that is here for us in the year 2011 to do with financial breakthroughs that will come in a way to set us free from the bondage of finances, so we're not allowed to be those water carriers. And I so encourage you to stay with this here, because this is so real. This is not like junk mail that just continually melts our brain down to where it just null and voids everything. This is so real what's going on right now. And what he's saying is, when it comes to the financial breakthroughs, some you'll see natural, some you'll see supernatural. Remember that from this day past, all mistakes from the Lord are for, not him, our mistakes, they're forgotten, they're past. Our past financial mistakes, whether we put ourselves into these burdens or whether circumstances or whatever has done it, that is history. But this day forth, he will speak to us, and we will need to be obedient in how to act with the finances at work, because he wants to set this church free from debt, so we no longer will be in bondage to the restrictions that money will not allow me to go forward with Ken. Money will not allow me to go 2 weeks here. Money will not allow me to go here and here. That will be something that we will be able to share with others and allow them to be set free to go where they're going. So this is the thing to remember. From here past is forgotten and forgiven. From here forward, obedience is required, and he will speak.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Help me remember to have, we're going to have a ministry team of Casey and Brian up here at the end, all up at the altar to minister and release the reality of that word, not with necessarily long prayers, but with the laying on of hands and simple declaration, both Brian and Casey. Who else is receiving from the Lord? Come on up.
Oh, Lord, give me the words. Just before the women's retreat, I was told that in 2 weeks my job was going to have a 20% pay cut, and that included a cut in time. And over the next 2 weeks after that, there has been a lot of very harsh and stressful stuff going on in work, and particularly in my job area. But one thing the Lord showed me at the women's retreat was that I'm going to go, and talking about walking on water, God showed me a picture of me walking in that front door. And you know when you step in a puddle, how the water goes like that? He says, you're going to be walking. Each step is my glory, and you're going to be protected by all the stuff that's going on. And I thought, okay. So we're going to handle this cut and pay, and I'm going to move forward in it. And one of the things he dropped in my heart was that I'm working on a book, and I just hadn't had time. And I go, well, now I'll have some extra time to work on this book, you know. And so I thought, okay, I have to stick with that. Well, God told me, no, you need to go talk to this recruiter that talked to you 2 years prior, that it wasn't the right time at that time. Well, anyway, I talked to her last Wednesday. I signed up with her, and because they didn't have a new contract for us at my last job, or the one that I just got done on Friday with, I didn't need to give a 30-day notice, and I get all my vacation time paid. So now if I work 3 days, I will make more money than if I would have stayed at my last job working 4 days. And I mean, it's just a wonderful Amen. Opportunity. So Amen. Don't settle. God's got something for you.
Amen. 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 We want to just switch modes here. I'm going to begin to pass the baton of the leadership of this service, not the leadership, the ministry of this service to you. And I want you to just look to the Lord. Is there a word, one word that he has? Is there a word of knowledge about someone he wants to heal there? Is there someone over across the room that keeps, the Lord just keeps highlighting them in your eyes, and you just feel like you have a word for them? If so, we're going to give government to this and leadership, and we're not going to just, but we want to release, but we want to just take a few minutes to just get into a receiving mode. I want to see people blessed here today before we leave. I want to see, we got lots of time. I want to see people healed here that need healing before we leave. And I want it to come. It must come through the body of Christ.
I just felt like I saw a heart, and it feels broken. And so if there's someone here that has a broken heart, the Lord just wants to heal it. You're just in a lot of pain, and God wants to take some of that pain out of there.
Okay, stay up here. Now, I want you to notice she's not only hearing it, but she's sensing it. She's feeling it in her own body. Who is that person? Who just, and please don't be afraid or shy or just a brokenheartedness. Nobody's business what it's about. Okay, those of you who are responding, you want to come? I'm just going to have you just minister over there. Someone else, go ahead, go on up. But get ready to receive wine. Okay, that's very relevant for several people. I'm going to coach here a little bit. You don't need to take a lot of time, because you are the water giver, not the wine giver, okay? Now, and you continue to receive, okay? Because you have the ability to receive. It's the Father that initiated this. All of you that have come up, you can receive apart from the one who brought the water. Once it's wine, it's yours. Father, heal it. Heal it. Heal it. One of the greatest things we can ever learn is how to receive from God apart from people. But people initiated. People bring the water. This is awesome. Wow, I can feel it. Someone else. Word of knowledge, impression. It won't be testimony, it'll be word. It'll be.
Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that is increasing in your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have abundance. I am fully supplied, and I have received it.
To go back to your seat, but don't stop drinking. How many can sense the wine? That was a simple word, but to them it's wine. I'm not even near the glass and I can smell it.
The Lord has... It's been for a while, and the Lord has made me a water carrier to give to others.
What are you
filling of the Spirit? A lot of emptiness in people, and if they feel that they need to be filled with that Spirit, we know we can ask, but a lot of us don't. And I'm here to transform that to you here if you want it.
A dryness? But they're feeling dry. Anyone that's feeling just spiritually dry, you just need a refreshing. He's just sensing the Lord. Give him the ability to fill you up. Come on up. Let's just move over here. Right. Right here. Anyone else that's just feeling dry and just need a spiritual refreshing? That's water until it's received, and then it's wine. Anyone else receiving a word of knowledge? Actually, there's a woman here who has a severe battle with migraine headaches. Who is that? A woman has a real battle with migraine headaches. Increase in that? Okay. Come on up. Keep calling people up. Just bring your water. Yes. Oh, Father. Father, I just thank you. Phyllis.
I just keep getting the word fear. So, if there's anybody that's struggling with fear.
The word I'm getting is sweetness, and I feel like it's to replace somebody's bitterness. And that fruit and that brings sweetness. The sugar from that fruit wants to just replace some bitterness that's in someone there.
Does that minister to anybody? Somebody struggling with bitterness needs that sweetness. Thank you, Father.
Now, there we go. Sorry, got a mic that's... Okay, I don't know why people are up here, but that's okay. Refreshing. Anyone else? I need a few more water carriers. Words of knowledge, visions, impressions. I want to take off every bit of performance. I want to take off every bit of pressure. You do not need to perform here this morning. This isn't about that. If you do not get a word for anyone this morning, that's okay. You have a word, Mary? Yes, you can.
Okay. I've been really feeling that. I've been really feeling someone needs the joy of the Lord, and I feel when that last word came about bitterness, that's very possible that those two things could go together. But this is a joy that comes from the Lord, not from anything that we can conjure up ourselves, but it's just bubbling out of us, and it will bring healing and release into our being.
Okay, amen. You comfortable coming up front and ministering that? I'll send someone with you. You want to come help her? Minister with her? Do you need that? What she just said? Okay, good. 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 Just take her right up in front of the pulpit. Beth is going to minister with you. She's going to help you carry the water. Anyone that responds to that word just needs a fresh infusion of joy. Joy does not necessarily have anything to do with laughter. I mean, it can, but it doesn't have to. It's good. Whew. Anybody else? Burl, is Burl in the room? He had his hand up earlier. Okay. That's okay. He'll be back.
You know, along with joy, there's another one that comes that Lord's telling me to offer hope. And we've been hearing some things about being architects of hope. And I want to, if anyone needs new hope in their life where things have seemed hopeless, God has a new hope.
Anyone that needs hope, come on up. Wayne will pray for you. It might, you know, and we might say, well, that's a bold statement. Come to me and I'll give you hope. No, he's saying, come to me and I'll give you water. And the Lord will give you hope. Who else? There's some words. Someone had a vision. I can feel it. Who had a vision or saw a picture? Who is that? You're hesitant to share it. Is that you? You following me? Huh. Okay, now let's lighten up. We're getting way too serious. And when we get serious, we strive. And we don't have to strive. If you want to strive, strive to enter into his rest. Because see, even as a kid, I could carry water. Just not as much as my dad. Shoot. Release it, Father. Anyone else? I'm not pressing. I am pressing, and I'm pushing, but not pushing to performance. Just pushing to obedience. I still feel like someone had a vision that hasn't been shared yet. Saw a picture.
A while ago, we had a service where they were talking about chains and chains breaking and people being released. And I've had a vision. I didn't step up before. A lot of other people were coming up. A lot of people had a lot of good words to say, and the time seemed to pass. But lately, the Lord has been putting this on my heart quite a bit. And actually making it more than I had before. And if you can envision people sitting in bondage, if you need to close your eyes to visualize this, or if you can visualize this, people are in bondage with chains. And the chains don't allow us to proceed, don't allow us to move. But if you can visualize sitting on a stream or at a lakeshore, and the Lord is going to break these chains. And too many times we sit there with these chains and we sit in the water, and the Lord breaks these chains and releases these chains, and they fall in the water, and you feel light and you feel free. But you don't move. And you sit there and you can't see the chains and you feel good, you feel refreshed. The chains are in the water, but you don't move. And that's because you're mindful of these chains. You're mindful of them, so you don't move. You stand there, and you know where the chains landed. You know there's chains there.
Whoa, there's...
But you don't move.
There's wine.
And what you have to do, what the Lord is telling me, is you have to move. You have to take a step. And as you take a step away from the chains, you're going to see your footprints. And that's being mindful of the chains and where they were. But as you move, he's going to cause ripples, the water, to wash these footsteps away. And as you move, you're not going to become mindful of these chains that have been broken off. And the Lord is faithful to break them off. And the more you move, the less mindful of the chains. And that's where the Lord intends you to be, is not mindful of the chains.
Will you pray for people for that?
I will.
Okay. Will you want to come over, go over there by that little wall? Okay, whoever that word is for, take the step, get out of your chair, that's what the word was, and come and receive. Doesn't matter if it's one person or ten.
I have two words of knowledge. First one is pancreas. I have the word pancreas. So if somebody's got trouble with their pancreas, I'd like to pray for you. The other word I have...
Let's hold a minute. Who is that person? Who has problems with the pancreas? Okay. Okay, then give the other one.
The other word I have is what's going on here today. The Lord gave me a vision of your eyes half open. You understand what's going on, but you don't quite grab what's going on. And the Lord like to impart an impartation of what's going on here today. So if you feel like you kind of get it, but you don't get it, I'd like to pray for you.
Amen. Okay. Do you hear that? Come on up, Dan. We'll pray for that first. But then Roy's available up here. We're going to have a few of the others like Brian and Casey. Eventually, we're going to have more of an altar call. We're still feeling our way. All we're doing is following the flow of the Spirit. But it's not the ministry of me, it's the ministry of you. And I want to say to you as the body of Christ, I trust you. I trust you, but I can trust you because I know you don't have to produce the wine, you just have to bring the water. And I know that I know that I know that you are very capable of bringing and carrying water. Who else is getting a word? It may be for someone in the room. If it is, just let us know first before you go give it, so we just have some leadership around it and we make sure the person receiving is comfortable with the situations and all of that. This is what a drunk person looks like who's been drinking wine. And, you know, and it may not be what you think a drunk looks like, but it's what this person looks drunk like today. And she's just been sipping a little wine, and the rest of it is none of your business. There's someone else that's holding something. I can feel it. Your heart is like pounding out of your chest. Who is that? I know I'm pushing a little bit, and I'm not pushing to performance, but I do want you to break through the veil of fear of man, the fear of God, in the sense of, what if you miss it? At the very worst, you'll spill a little water. And then it might even turn. Fill her up, Lord. Fill her up more. Yes. I lost my mic. Go.
I just feel like there's somebody even this week or in the last couple of weeks who said, it doesn't matter what I pray, my prayers don't come to anything.
Whoa.
That you don't believe that your prayers are effective.
Who's that person or people?
And I believe that when you came up and you come up and you bring up that little glass of water, your water's not, your cup's not even full. But I believe when you come up that the Lord is going to activate something and you're going to see the answer to prayer soon.
Amen. Who is that? I'll take that. Who is that person? You just feel like, what use is it praying anymore? I never get any answers. Yeah. Okay. Why don't you do that privately? But you can go to. Here's a word for Ken and Carrie, and we just discussed it, and it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. That he should give it corporately. Sometimes we give words privately, sometimes corporately. Formula.
All right. There's two things.
Hold the mic up just a little more.
Thank you.
Are we getting a recording of this?
Okay. When the scripture came forth about whatever he says to you, do it. I just feel that that's a word for this trip. There's going to be something in this trip. There's going to be a time. And it might be past your comfort level. You don't seem to have much of a discomfort level. but I just that's part of what I wanted to share with you. To just whatever he says to do, do it. However that works out. You know, you'll know. You'll know. He'll bring it to your mind. The other thing I want to say, by way of honor to you, and I think it's also a word for the house here, is that.
Okay. Good.
What comes out of you is because of your humility before me. And. I wasn't going to prophesy it as a word from the Lord, but that's what comes out of you is because of your humility before me. And God just delights in humble, teachable people.
Amen.
And we thank you, Ken. We thank you for modeling that, Carrie, for modeling that, for just being so open, for being so teachable, for just saying whatever you want, Jesus, big or small, whatever you want. We appreciate you bringing that, and that's just going to bless the Ukraine, and take that to them, take that humility to them, bless them with that, because it's such a fountain, as you know, it's such a fountain for amazing things coming forth from heaven to earth.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for that word. Thank you, Father. Sometimes we do something like that privately. Sometimes we do that corporately. We just felt like we should do it corporately in that case. We're a team. We all are a team. And she was going to go sit down. I said, do you think you're done yet? She said, no. So just share what you're still sensing. And what,
well,
I don't remember what.
I guess I'm just sensing that there's still somebody that is hesitant to come, but the Lord wants you to come and get healed.
What was the call for, kind of?
It was for a broken heart.
Oh, yes.
It was sorrow.
Can I share something on top of that? Same deal.
Yeah, if it's brief.
Men, don't let pride get in your way of coming up here. It took me to get Jim to come up here, but I'm telling you, men, don't let pride get in
Good
your
word.
Way, because it's us too.
Good word. Good word. Okay, yeah.
This is on.
Yes, it is.
The Lord showed me when you were singing about the rain that there was literally rain falling. And it was falling all over the whole church.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you could feel that she's here for the first time? Thank you.
Another thing I felt when I walked in here, and I haven't felt it in a long time, is childlike faith.
Did you hear that? She felt childlike faith when she walked in. It's her first time here. I don't know who she is. I just know she's my sister. And she looks a lot like our father. Okay, who is that that is hesitant to come up, but there's a bit of a brokenheartedness that you've it may be wrapped in disappointment. It may be in a lot of things, but God wants to minister to it. Is there anyone else that just sensing, you know, you're holding something? I encourage you, don't taste the wine because it's not, it's water.
I just feel like that there's someone who feels like they've maybe done something and that no one could forgive them, let alone God. And I just really want you to know that when he was on that cross, he wasn't mad. He wasn't up there going, oh, dang, that Corey, she left the light on. I'm so mad at her. He was up there going, I just love you so much. I just want you to, I just want to be with you. And if this is the only way that I can do it is to be on that cross, then I'll do it because I just love you so much. And I just really feel like there's some people who might feel that they are nothing, that they have to go before God just begging for his forgiveness and for his love, and that they have to strive to get it. And it's not, he looks at us and goes, you're my kid. I love you so much. I just am so glad you're here with me. Just come as you are. I don't see those flaws. I don't see those scars. I just see you.
Okay, who's that? Who can identify with that? Just feel like you blew it beyond repair. Who is that person? I realize that takes a bit of vulnerability to come up and. Who is that? Okay, I encourage, I think that's a right on word. But we're going to let it rest. But you talk to Corey after and let her pray for you. It's always important when the Lord puts something before us that we respond to it. There is a reason that we have people come to the front. We have people come to the front because Jesus had people come to the front. By that I mean they came to him. Jesus did not go to people. They came to him. He offered to a few times when request was made, but it's because the person couldn't be there. But he healed all who came to him. And so there's something important about coming and asking and receiving. In fact, the reality is many times people don't see the results because they were roped into getting prayer instead of open to it. And so they just got a glass of water instead of wine. That's why the Bible says, who is that person? Okay. She's feeling it. It's real. That's why the Bible says, let them call for the elders of the church. There's something in asking for prayer. That's what opens the door. Before I release, I'm going to release Brian. Would you come up and pray? What was your emphasis again? What was
just talking about the Band-Aids. So
Come
on up.
Yeah. And Casey, for the financial breakthrough and just financial, come on up and just minister. We're gonna open the altar. We're getting close to the end of the fourth quarter. I want to honor your time and dismiss on time. You got a word? Awesome. Okay. Yeah, why don't you do it privately? Thank you. Did you have something?
Just that word. Given the prayer room, I just felt like it needed to be read.
Okay.
I just wanted to share with you a word that someone got in when we were in the prayer room. And I hope I say this right. It felt like the word was breakthrough, that there was a breakthrough today.
Paper-thin veil.
Yeah, and people saw it, the breaker saw it. But when you're looking at it, you look like it's a real strong, like a thick, I don't know, material. But it's paper-thin. And the word was is that God is here to give breakthrough, and it's just a matter of stepping forth to receive that breakthrough. I just want to encourage you if there's any.
I'm sorry. Okay, sure. Okay.
It's just for you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think we're going to dismiss so that we honor your time, but we're going to continue to minister. So if you need to leave, you feel free to leave. God bless you. We're going to continue to minister. Do you mind playing a little longer? Thank you. Dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.